The Truth News Network. Maybe the scariest thing there is today is truth in media, especially the news. Get not only the news, but the truth in the news and nothing else. From TNN, the Truth News Network. Without the other guy's spin, here's your host, Dan Newman.
And boy, aren't we scouring the countryside looking for truth in the media. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman, and welcome to Truth News Network. Today, we're going to look a little further than just for truth. We're going to see if we can find the face of the Democrat Party. From 2008 through 2016, the Democrat Party, the face of the Democrat Party, was former President Barack Obama. Though many of his policy positions changed during his 8 years in the White House, it was certainly obvious when he made those changes and where specific changes ended up. In today's Democrat Party, not only is the determination of who is the face of the party impossible to see, so is the determination of the Democrat Party platform. Today, let's see if maybe we can narrow the options for those determinations, and maybe, just maybe, come up with an answer. So who is the Democrat Party's leader? That's an easy question to ask, but it's very difficult to answer. Is it House Speaker Nancy Pelosi? Or is it new Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Are Democrats looking to get governing ideas from that left-leaning, aging, yet experienced and powerful California speaker, or from the young, energetic socialist from New York? What about Chuck Schumer? Of course, he's also from New York, and he's left-leaning. But here we are, 2 years after Obama gave the White House keys to Donald Trump, and we still don't know who is leading the party. Rank-and-file Democrats, they don't even know. Consider this. They made it through the 2018 midterm elections and fared pretty well. But the question that many Americans are asking today is, can the Democrat Party not just survive the 2020 election, but can they wrestle control of the Senate and the White House away from Republicans? You know, I don't have a crystal ball, but if history plays a role here, it is doubtful that Dems will gain control of both while maintaining their House majority. And that should weigh heavily in their decisions regarding legislation and how the House operates in the next 2 years. And quite honestly, they're not getting off to a very good start. Oh, you say? The House of Representatives is in session right now? Well, if you know that answer with certainty, all we seem to hear, because all the mainstream media want to report, is Trump's government shutdown. They forget that the president has put four different offers as of today for a resolution on the table, to each of which Pelosi and Schumer have not only declined, but have even refused to make a single counteroffer. Now, just moments ago, we heard that they are about to, or there is speculation that one is in the making. Maybe that's the way the House Democrats feel they can win control of the entire government. I don't know about that. Yes, there are things happening in the House of Representatives, regardless if they come forward with an offer to get the president or try to get the president to reopen the government, but nothing so far substantive. They have offered at least six bills that were passed by the Democrat majority for government funding, but they did so purely symbolically, knowing there was nothing going to happen across the hall. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell made it very clear weeks ago that the Senate would not waste time considering any bills or any that the president would not sign into law. and that was not going to happen for any legislation that did not contain funding for a southern border wall. If we rely on what's happening now in the House, there is no party leadership at all. House Speaker Pelosi is back in charge, as everyone knows. She wielded her substantive power and apparently cut deals with those Democrats in the House that opposed her returning to the Speaker position. But she is known as by far the best campaign fundraiser for Democrats in House history. For that, they need her in their corner. But she is the best face for the Democrat Party. Come on. Remember her saying from that podium, we have to pass the bill before we'll know what's in the bill? Do you remember that statement from Speaker Pelosi? She was referring to what history will probably show as the most expensive law in U.S. history, the Affordable Care Act, or better known as Obamacare. Remember this, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, told everyone she did not know what was in the bill, nor did any other Democrat in the House or even in the Senate. But we needed it passed so we could find out what was in the bill. The most expensive bill in U.S. history. Not a single member of Congress knew the provisions that were contained in Obamacare before it was passed in both houses, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, with unanimous approval by House and Senate Democrats, but without a single Republican voting for it. You can't fix stupid. And that statement of hers was and is a stupid statement. Well, let's go across the hall and look at the Senate. Over there sits Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, better known lately as obstructor in chief. If you look up the definition of obstructor, you'll see Chuck's picture right there. He forgets there is YouTube that documents everything we say and do. And he is well known for saying and doing a whole lot of stuff. And he is known additionally as Flipper in chief. Here's a collage of Schumer's very obvious flip-flops on a myriad of policies. You're going to chuckle.
Who in America doesn't think a president, Democrat or Republican, deserves his or her picks for who should run the agencies?
Will you vote for your colleague, Senator Sessions, as Attorney General?
I've already said I'll oppose Senator Sessions. The 9% rating is a cry by the American people to the Congress. Do something to help us. Our incomes are declining. Our lives are becoming more difficult. Stop the gridlock. Republicans are grinding the Senate to a near standstill.
We can't influence when they have the hearings. The original plan was to have 8 or 10 hearings the first week. But we can hold them up on the floor, and for 2 months, that's all they'll do is their nominations. And so they're sort of stuck there, too.
Refusing to confirm qualified judges, preventing executive agencies from having the leaders they deserve. Well, it's a new world. People demand action. The old rules need to be modified.
There's nothing that says they have to change the rules if Gorsuch doesn't get 60. And the logic, the irresistible, immutable logic is, if the nominee doesn't get 60, you change the nominee, not the rules.
We'd much prefer the risk of up or down votes in majority rule than the risk of continued total obstruction. That's the bottom line, no matter who's in power.
We'd be derelict in our responsibility to the American people if we just let's do all of these in a week and not ask them any tough questions.
But your hands are tied, because in the last Congress, your Democratic leadership, you were a part of it, changed the rules so that you only need 51 votes to confirm a nominee, not 60, and therefore you're living by your rules. Was that a mistake in retrospect?
I argued against it at the time. I said both for Supreme Court and in cabinet should be 60. because on such important positions, there should be some degree of bipartisanship. I won on Supreme Court, lost on cabinet, but it's what we have to live with now.
Not the greatest situation when you're in the minority.
Wish it hadn't happened.
You wish it hadn't happened?
Yep.
So, cabinet appointments, policy questions, Supreme Court judges and other position appointments, their confirmations, all, at least according to Schumer, should be handled in the Senate whatever way Democrats say they should be handled. Flip-flop after flip-flop. And I'm not talking about veiled or secretive flip-flops. In the American voters' faces, Chuck Schumer completely reversed his decision on those over and over again. You just heard them. His hypocrisy in these videos and these audio sound bites are actually hilarious. Why? Because he right now is one of the de facto leaders of the Democrat Party. It would be funny if it was not for the fact we need someone in his position who is really ready enough to deal with legislation strictly on the grounds of what is best for the country. And in Schumer's own words, how can any president not get confirmations for the appointments he makes? Good God, he's the president. Oops. It seems that Chuck only believed that when Obama was in office. He planned on that working the same way during a Hillary Clinton two-term stint at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But the American people thought otherwise and elected Donald Trump. So, who is running the Democrat Party? Let's go back across the hall, across the aisle, to the House of Representatives. Let's take a look at AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The new member of Congress from the New York suburbs has set the political world on fire. She's young, she's energetic, and she's a socialist, self-proclaimed. But let's correct that. We've listened to her extensively during her campaign and since, and she's really not a socialist. We've come up with a term for her. Let's call her a communist light. As she speaks more and more in the public in interviews, rallies, and appears on television and radio talk shows, basically every time she opens her mouth, she proves just how virtually incoherent she is discussing facts about all things American. Putting it mildly, she doesn't have a clue.
Running for Congress was never in the plan. It was never in the cards. It was never something that I thought I'd be able to do. And if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, we can't start working in 2020.
I can't let you
go! January 3rd, January 4th, we're signing health care.
But they don't actually inaugurate Congress people, they swear them in.
And then she went on to say that she was going to get inaugurated on the 3rd and then start signing bills on the 4th. You don't get inaugurated and you don't sign bills. Only the president will sign the bills that you present to him.
But she appears to have her political colors mixed up.
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be hopping on here, Senator Sanders' account, and we're here in Kansas City to rally for Brent Welder. We're gonna flip this seat red in November.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why did you run?
I ran because I felt like we could do better and that we could be better as a country. And I looked around.
You know, the benefit of capitalism is that you engage in voluntary trade. It is the system that, unlike all the others, has lifted more people out of poverty over the course of human history than any other system.
Well, so I think that those things that you talk about, that you discuss, are part of the course of human evolution.
Ocasio-Cortez says she can't afford to move to Washington. She can't make a deposit on an apartment in D.C. until she gets her first paycheck. Members of Congress earn a solid $174,000 a year.
Connected most to an electorate when they were fighting for these seats
when they got these seats, when they were campaigning most, when we had more of an American middle class. Mm-hmm. But that upper middle class doesn't exist anymore.
But when you look at what she just said, that the upper middle class is gone, look at this. In 1979, it was at 12.9%, if we could put up the graphic. And today, the middle class has grown, as you can see, more than double that number from that many years ago.
Yes, but I also think that what people are starting to see, at least in the occupation of Palestine, I think what I meant is like the settlements that are increasing in some of these areas and places where Palestinians are experiencing difficulty in access to their housing and homes.
Do you think you can expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd also just, I am not the expert on geopolitics on this issue.
You use the term the occupation of Palestine. Mm. What did you mean by that?
We're waiting.
And no response whatsoever. Let's put this freshman member of Congress and her political views in perspective. She has shared her ideas and ideals throughout her campaign to many who lived and worked in New York. Now fellow members of Congress since her election, on all these talk shows on television and radio, and still, the mainstream media are fawning over her simply because she's young, attractive, speaks well, has a degree in business, and is a minority congressional member of the House of Representatives. All of that rolled in together is all that's necessary to be a great politician, at least in the mainstream media minds, and of many other Democrats. Apparently, those are the only traits necessary to be considered a potential leader of the Democrat Party. Do Americans really support that concept? Listen to this. 60% of Americans polled support AOC's plan to assess a 70% federal income tax rate on wealthiest of Americans. She stated that the very existence of billionaires is evil and that no one in the United States should even be allowed to be a billionaire. While appearing on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show following President Trump's address to the nation on the crisis at the U.S. southern border, she attacked Americans, any American, opposed to illegal immigration. And she glossed over the recent murder of a legal immigrant police officer. Remember him, Corporal Ronil Singh from California? Then a new Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey found that if the 2020 presidential race was between Donald Trump and Ocasio-Cortez, better known as AOC, 43% of likely U.S. voters would vote for Trump, while 40% would vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and a sizable 17% remain undecided. Just those two potential candidates. Think about that. Think about everything you've heard. Think about what you know, and think about that. And then, there's this.
You're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? Are you talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
This would require the raising taxes.
There's an element where, yeah, there people are gonna have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
Do you have a specific on the tax rate?
You know, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s, and when you have a progressive tax rate system, your tax rate, you know, let's say from zero to $75,000 may be 10% or 15%, et cetera. But once you get to like the tippy tops, on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all $10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more.
What you are talking about, just big picture, is a radical agenda compared to the way politics is done right now.
Well, I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security. That is radical.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, you know, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
In AOC's own words, call me a radical. I remember Americans pretty much saying the same thing about that junior senator from Chicago when he ran for president. Democrats and enough other Americans felt the U.S. needed a president that would bring those radical new ideas to the nation. Obama's views were radical when compared to the mainstream at the time. And for 8 years, he did his best to fulfill his promise. Remember it? He was going to lead the nation in fundamental change. Unfortunately for the United States, his leadership drove us in economic devastation and eroded almost all of our international credibility while killing our military might. Are Democrats ready for new radical leadership? Are U.S. citizens ready for that, including Democrats, Republicans, and Independents? Thankfully, the New York radical is not old enough yet to make a bid for the White House. But the leadership of the Democrat Party is in her sights. Make no mistake, folks, she's destined to become the face of the Democrat Party. And mind dumb millennial and Generation Zers are enough in number to probably make that happen. 70% tax rates? Hopefully, we will never see that. At least not in my lifetime. I hope, and pray. Well, we gave you a glimpse of who we think is headed to the top at the Democrat Party. Thanks for joining us here. Love your comments. Send me an email, dan@truthnewsnet.org. We'd love to hear from you. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining all the time at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear. TNN, the Truth News Network. Truth News Network.